welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely terrific day today. Lots of things going on as always. And if you guys saw on the website, the new product of the week that won yesterday was the Joint Rebuilding Formula, one of our staple products we've had for years. It's clinically proven to actually rebuild soft tissue in the body. Really cool product. You can go on the website at healthmasters.com and check that out. But it's on sale right now for over 12% off as product of the week. Just wanted to throw that out there, Dad. And how are you doing today?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I've had so many people give me so much positive feedback about history and about World War II and what I talked about with the bankers yesterday and all this different stuff. I'm going to add a couple more things into it. We realized that during before World War II, the Allies, without the United States prior to Pearl Harbor, desperately wanted the United States into the war. And the United States was routinely attacking German shipping, you know, in the Atlantic and the Pacific, just to try to provoke conflict. And if people don't realize that was actually happening. But also what people don't realize is there was like an 8-step protocol that they put together to force Japan to attack the United States at Pearl Harbor. Now, all of this is public record now. We realize this happened, but the vast majority of people don't know this happened because they were trained and taught incorrectly in the school systems. Let me give you a little bit of information here real quick. Many others have also alleged this and said that Roosevelt deliberately allowed the attack on Pearl Harbor to proceed and failed to warn the local military commanders, whom he then ordered court-martialed for their negligence. That's true. Everyone now knows, of course, that the message to the Japanese ambassador in Washington warning him that Japan was about to attack the U.S. was read by military intelligence not long after the ambassador himself received it, and that the frantic cover-up involving some successful lying about details was intended not to preserve that secret, but to protect the traitors in Washington who made certain that the Japanese attacked, which they had labored so long to provoke, would be successful and produce the maximum loss of American lives and destruction of American ships. Numerous historians seem to have thoroughly established that Roosevelt did everything he could to provoke a war with Japan, but Oliver, the author of the book that I'm quoting right now, adds a fascinating detail. Listen to this, guys. This is so important you get this. In January 1941, almost 11 months before Pearl Harbor, preparation for it began in Washington when FDR summoned the Portuguese ambassador to the United States and, enjoining him to the utmost secrecy, asked him to inform Premier Salazar that Portugal would have no concern for the safety of Timor and other possessions in Southeast Asia. The United States, he said, had decided, had decided to crush Japan forever by waiting until her military forces and lines of communications were stretched to the utmost, and then suddenly launching an all-out war with massive attacks that Japan could not be prepared to resist. As expected, the Portuguese ambassador communicated the glad tidings to the head of his government using his most secure method of communication, an enciphered code which the Portuguese doubtless imagined to be unbreakable, but which Roosevelt knew had been compromised and was being broken by the Japanese on a routine basis. The Japanese were currently reading all messages sent to it by wireless. The statement, ostensibly entrusted in strict secrecy to the Portuguese ambassador, was of course intended for the Japanese government, and as a matter of fact, it became certain that the trick had succeeded when the contents of the Portuguese ambassador's message to Salazar promptly appeared in a Japanese message enciphered by the purple machine. Roosevelt had only to wait for the Japan to act on the secret covert information about American plans thus given her and to order her naval movements and diplomatic negotiations that would appear to Japan to confirm American intentions. You hear what I just said? The United States intentionally released false information that it was going to attack and destroy the Japanese Empire, that it was going to overwhelm them with military forces. And they intentionally released this to the Japanese back in January of 1941. And they did it on purpose to make sure that Japan was prepared to attack the United States and would destroy the fleet, of which the carriers were moved out of Pearl Harbor before the attack, because Roosevelt knew the importance of maintaining a carrier fleet, and were basically hidden, you know, out in the ocean while the Japanese came in and bombed a bunch of old battleships, a lot of which had been built in the 1800s, and destroyed an aging, dilapidated, basically, fleet. Roosevelt did this on purpose because his handlers in Europe basically wanted the United States in the war. And they pushed and pushed and pushed. In fact, many military generals who were in the Roosevelt administration, when he died, they rejoiced because they said he was a very evil man, and they were happy that he was gone. Remember, his family, the Roosevelt fortune, came from the Opium Wars in China that was basically implemented through Great Britain. So we've got a lot of information that we've been taught about World War II, which was simply a lie. Now, remember, back in the 30s, with the Stalin show trials, and we talked about this the other day, when literally hundreds of thousands, millions of people were sentenced to death, you know, by these show trials and basically drumming up false evidence against people in the Soviet Union, saying, you know, they were subversive and all they were Christians or Catholics. The Stalinist show trials executed millions in Russia. Stalin executed up to 60 million of his own people died through this butcher. Through this unbelievable butcher. And here's the irony. Here's a little fact that you didn't know. The chief Soviet prosecutor at Nuremberg, remember in the Nuremberg trials after World War II, when the German generals were put on trial, one of them committed suicide, others were hanged by the neck, others were basically found not guilty, of war criminals. The chief Soviet prosecutor at Nuremberg had played the same role during the notorious Stalinist show trials of the late 30s. You listening to me? The same guy who sent tens of thousands of people to their death in the Stalinist show trials was the same one they used in Nuremberg, during which the numerous old Bolsheviks, the communists, confessed to all sorts of absurd and ridiculous things during these show trials, hardly enhanced the credibility of the proceedings to many outside observers. Guys, it's always the same people. It's always this group of weirdos and wackos. I mean, now we've got these women down in Brazil who are all involved in the transgender movement, talking about weirdos and wackos. And they had a little 9-year-old boy that they had basically, one of the women had before she decided to become a hardcore militant lesbian. And they removed his penis and carved a vagina into him at 9 years of age. I mean, I'm talking, they did it. And then they got in trouble with the Department of Services down in Brazil, and they ran all over Brazil trying to avoid prosecution. Finally, they stabbed the little boy to death. This is what happens when subversive teachings and subversive thoughts and sickos get involved with all of this bizarre behavior. The end outcome is sin so extreme and so bizarre that you, as a normal human being, cannot comprehend. Every thought of every man was evil all the time. It says it in Genesis chapter 6. No perversion is too great. No destruction is enough. No killings are enough. No murder is enough. Nothing is ever enough. When sin comes in and this demonic stuff comes into these people and they become reprobate, they can't fulfill their bloodlust. More abortions, more abortions, more abortions, more abortions to Baal, to Moloch, to Asherah. More death, more destruction. There's never enough, to the point that Roosevelt orchestrated the United States going into World War II. Remember, after the Versailles Treaty, and I'm gonna make a little comment here real quick. The largest ethnic group in the United States back in the early 1900s, as far as people who had immigrated into the United States from Europe after the Civil War, after the great communist Lincoln, who was friends with Karl Marx, after he had destroyed the huge population of the South and had to bring mercenary Hessians into the northern states to continue to destroy the South. When he sent Sherman to march to the sea, destroy tens of thousands of farms and homes and buildings and murder and rape women. This is Lincoln. Okay? When Lincoln did all of this, Lincoln knew that he was going to be able to write the history books. The same group of people that caused our Civil War are the same group of people that caused the Soviet Revolution, are the same group of people who did this with Nuremberg, are the same group of people who pushed Roosevelt into creating World War II. And when the American people saw how unjust the Versailles Treaty was, I'm going to say this. Germany did not lose World War I. An armistice was signed. There were no foreign troops on Germany's soil after World War I. Then when the Versailles Treaty happened, the German people had already disbanded their armies because the boycotts and the inability to get trade, the blockades in the ports. Germany was starving to death, so they stopped the war so they would not have their own people starve to death. The people from France and England after World War I blamed everything on Germany, created the Versailles Treaty, which was so unjust that Woodrow Wilson brought it home and signed it, and our Senate wouldn't ratify it because it was so against the German people who had not even started World War I. Remember that. And then they carved Germany up like a doggone duck after World War I, gave about approximately anywhere almost up to a third of Germany away to other countries, and basically tried to destroy the country. Then all of a sudden, all these American Germans who were in the United States, the largest single ethnic group in the United States, all the Millers are German, all the Browns are German, all the Schmidts are Germans. These are all German names. Now, you may have a few English people with the same names, but generically, almost all of them could go back to being German ancestry. And what ended up happening is there were marches all over the United States in World War I and in World War II saying U.S. can't get into this war because all of our relatives are in Germany and they haven't done anything wrong. But Roosevelt, being controlled, 33-degree Mason that he was, Churchill Mason, Stalin Mason, they needed a reason to get the United States into the war. And they did it. They forced the Japanese, who were allies with Germany, to attack Pearl Harbor by cutting off their fuel supplies and telling Japan they were going to destroy them in advance. This is what happened in the war. This is the same group of people all the way back that have always been there, these Luciferians, these druids, these witches, these warlocks, these weirdos, who have an insatiable desire to destroy everything that God created to be good. Everything. You can't have a man, you can't have a woman, you can't have a child without butchering the child, you can't have anything. It's the bloodlust of Lucifer, and it's this group that runs the world today. And they have put a veil over the hearts and the minds of the people so they cannot believe and see and know the truth. And guys, if you have any other people that you're listening to, that you're hearing on these talk shows, and they're not telling you what I'm telling you about all of this stuff, then they're not telling you the full truth. All of it is smoke and mirrors, games, Game of Thrones, Game of Weirdos, Game of Sickos, Game of Perverts. That's what's going on. And the American people have been so basically indoctrinated into believing what they see on the idiot tube and having their theta brainwave state so induced by watching their TV at night, their dreamlike, trance-like state, that they don't want to know and to believe the truth because the truth will set them free. This world is being controlled by ancient Canaanite religions. Baal worship, Moloch worship, Asherah worship. It's the worship of Lucifer. That's who controls it. And guys, you've got to see it. And their whole goal is to bring their Antichrist in, to have a world leader to control everything and to force everybody under what's called Noahide laws. Guys, this is what's happening right now as I do this show. Last night, I called several listeners up. I called up, I talked to a bunch of people last night, and we discussed all of this in detail. And several of them were talking to me about the show on Friday that we did last week. Guys, if you've ever missed one of my shows, or one of Austin and my shows, you've got to hear Friday's show. I tie it all together, including how the blood of Christ sanctifies us. You've got to hear that show. You talk about an anointed show, it's anointed. I've listened to it several times. And I tell you what, guys, every time I listen to it, it still affects me the same way. I really believe the Holy Spirit was speaking through me on that show on Friday. Now, does everybody want to agree with everything I said on that show? It doesn't make any difference to me. I just can tell you what I believe to be the truth based on extensive research, reading thousands of books and tens of thousands of articles over the last 35 years and researching into all of these topics. But I'm telling you, our grandfathers were duped by the international banking community, the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the Luciferians, to do World War I and World War II. And a lot of it was to go ahead and force the Jewish people back into Palestine. That's one of the primary motives of all of this, to rebuild that third temple. And if you don't have people telling you what I just told you, then they're not telling you the truth. They'd rather keep you caught up in the Kardashians and how many nude pictures they can put online of the Kardashians, or how much of the Mueller investigations when Donald Trump should you listen to. Guys, last night I was talking to Karen, and she says, you know, all of this is a ruse. It's a ruse. And I'm paraphrasing what she said. She said, basically, they're just doing all of this smoke and mirrors, this circuses, this circus, so we don't see what they're doing behind the scenes. And guys, listen to me. You know, when God spoke to me, I think it was 7 years ago now in that dream, I should have written the date down. He spoke to me, you know, audibly, and I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It was in a dream, and I was soaking wet, shaking like a doggone leaf, and I had to get in the shower because I was so soaked in sweat. You know, it changed my life. That moment in time changed me forever. And I realized, guys, the most important thing that any of us to do is to serve God and obey His commandments. And these churches now that are out there that are promoting a different Jesus than we were taught, incorporating all of this weird stuff into their services, including gematria. I mean, this numerology that was forbidden by the Bible. Guys, don't support pastors and churches like that. It's not necessary. Understand that you were bought at a price. God has a right. Jesus has a right to micromanage you for what He did for you. Think about that. Jesus was an omnipresent being. He knew that He was omnipresent, and He knew when He went to the cross, He was omnipresent. He would never end. He knew that. And He knew that also be at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He says that in the Word. So you think about what He did for you, the sacrifice that He gave for you, knowingly going to the cross, that His sweat was like great drops of blood. He was so stressed out, knowing what was going to happen. Guys, this is so important that you understand who and what you are as a Christian. We're in covenant with God Almighty through the blood of the Lamb. In covenant, which means He's our covenant head. That's why it says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. A covenant's like the old blood brother thing you see in the old movies. You know, they did it one time in that movie Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood. And he had that Comanche or that Cherokee or that Indian that he was there on the horse with. And they both cut each other's hands and they put their hands together and they clapped them together. And they created a blood covenant. The Comanche's blood ran with Clint Eastwood's and his ran, and the Josie and the ran with the other guys. At that point, that was an eternal covenant that could not be broken. They were blood brothers. God did that for you through Christ. He created an eternal covenant through His blood. Guys, it's so amazing what we've been given. And it's so incredible how the world and this group of weirdos who butcher little children are in control. But guys, here's the thing. Greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Every one of you right now, I believe with all of my heart, and I prayed for you this morning. And when I tell you I prayed for you, I really did pray for you. I pray for you. If sometimes you'll hear me say, I haven't prayed for you, I'll pray you for today. I prayed for you this morning. All of us need to be aware of what God is, who God is, and who Jesus is, and what He did for us. We don't have to return to the old covenant. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous. And we've got to understand who and what we have through Christ. Because through God, all things are possible. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Does that mean that the entire world is going to get saved? Not for a while. But let me tell you something, guys. Here's what the Word says. Sooner or later, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that's what I'm waiting for. Austin, what do you think of what's your first story, bud?
Well, that's really well said. And I mean, these are the things that we're trying to bring up now, why it's so important to stay as healthy as you can, to go in and make sure you exercise as much as you can, and be aware of what you're putting in your body. The GMOs and the high fructose corn syrup and all these different foods, they're designed to break down your body. They're designed to decrease your frequency. They're designed to reduce your productivity and your optimal functioning. That's what they're designed to do. It's not by chance that these foods are so toxic, that the FDA knows they're so toxic, that they've been in the food market for decades upon decades now and been directly linked to all types. I did the article the other day on sodium nitrite. That stuff's been around for decades. It's unbelievably toxic. They use it to kill animals, but yet they still put it in luncheon meats like it's going out of style, and everybody just goes, oh, sodium nitrite, nothing wrong with it. FDA approved it. Well, now, to take it up a step further, as disappointing as it is for me to say now, if you guys have seen this, this has gotten like very, very, very little publicity. AP actually did an article on it. Surprise, surprise. Trump, 2 days ago, has now signed executive order called Modernizing the Regulatory Framework for Agricultural Biotech Products. Now, if you don't quite understand what that means, don't worry, I read it. And essentially what it is and what it really should be called is the GMO Streamlining Act. As reported by the Associated Press, the executive order directs federal agencies to reduce or eliminate any regulations and oversight that might help ensure the safety of genetically engineered crops. That's me putting it. If I read it from AP, this is verbatim what the article says. President Trump wants to make it easier for genetically engineered plants and animals to enter the food supply. He has signed an executive order Tuesday directing federal agencies to simplify the regulatory process for all GMO producers. The move comes as companies are turning to newer genetic engineering technologies that make it easier to tinker with the traits of plants and animals. The order also noted that government policy should urge trading partners to adopt similar regulatory approaches overseas. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is changing its regulation in the way that would mean much of the genetically modified corn and soy grown in the United States would not be subject to any special oversight. Crops produced with newer gene editing technologies also would not be automatically subject to any special oversight under the new executive order. This is a CRISPR-9 gene editing. That's what the GMO has evolved into with these scientists now. I've talked about that stuff in detail. The CRISPR-9 gene editing, it was really displayed heavily in a film. Oh, what was it called? It was that movie with The Rock, Dad. He had that gorilla in it, and that stuff got in the gator, the gorilla, and the wolf. I forgot the name of it. They were experimenting with basically CRISPR-9 gene editing in space.
I remember that.
And this stuff
that
got released down on Earth, and these animals got a hold of it. What it allows things to do is grow far beyond their normal genetic potential, and not only that, can alter the state of all the genome. It's insane what this stuff is capable of doing. And they put in the food and they're doing it to animals now. So they say here that crops produced with newer gene editing CRISPR-9 technology would not be subject to special oversight under the new executive order. Companies have said the gene editing allows them precisely alter plants and animals, and that they're doing so could theoretically be achieved through conventional breeding. They're trying to change the animals down from the genes and allow them to start changing this in the breeding cycle. This is crazy because essentially with this executive order, the administration is essentially allowing a massive GMO experiment where anything goes for the American population now. I mean, I read a bunch of this. I mean, it's crazy. The fact of how scary gene editing is and CRISPR-9 editing and GMO and what it can do to the food and what it can do to the animal population, and now literally turning around and saying the U.S. Department of Agriculture is not going to need any oversight over this anymore. They pretty much are going to give these GMO biotech companies carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want and essentially provide their own oversight, which we saw that happen, right? Didn't we allow the vaccine manufacturers to do that in 1986? They could pretty much do whatever they wanted with vaccines, and there was no ramifications, there were no consequences. They had to provide their own oversight once the FDA essentially gave them the green light on a vaccine, which was almost always streamlined with very little long-term testing. Yeah, we already saw that. Now we just handed the keys to the safe to one of the most aggressive, essentially, conglomerates in the United States now, the biotech agencies, the industry that modifies the very food and animals that we eat on a regular basis, and we now are telling them they have no oversight, proceed at will, weapons free, which essentially means there's no regulations anymore on these guys now. They can do whatever they want, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's like a it's like a bad movie with Trump. And you know, and Trump knows this stuff. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he's going to qualify for men's anytime soon, but I can tell you what, he knows this stuff. And the sad part about all of it is that he doesn't seem to care. And he's the one who's pushing it. He's the one who's going to go down. And here's the thing. You get all these doggone Christians. It's like they did with George W. I mean, I heard one time, I'm going to say this. I'm going to rebuke the guy who said it, but I'm going to say what he said. And then I'm going to verify what he said and how sometimes it's true. He said that when he was in Bible school, this guy's name was Larry, Pastor Larry, I won't give you his last name. This was some 40 years ago, that they told him in Bible school that the people coming to the church were called giving units. That's how they were classified. In other words, you're a giving unit if you attend this church. And he was also told that the people were basically mindless amoebas that had to be told what to do and pushed in the right direction. Now, you hear what I just said? Giving units that are mindless amoebas. Now, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus, because I may be a giving unit to these guys, but I am not a mindless amoeba. And I want to know where my money goes and what they're doing with it. And the sad part about it all, Austin, is this. Donald Trump has so unbelievably brainwashed the population that of Christians who got him, but evangelicals who got him in an office. I mean, the perfect example. I told you last week that I spoke to that pastor. And this woman pastor was supposed to be meeting with Trump, and she was going to handle the gay and guns issue. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. It's no different than it was. Whether she even got the chance to meet with him or not, who knows? I know my pastor friend who was up there hasn't seen him in 2 years, but yet he still is on the Trump train and pushing the agenda. Guys, I don't have a bit of problem with Donald Trump as far as if he just did what he said he was going to do. And I know he did some things the first 6 months, 8 months, 12 months in office and some executive orders. But now we have to ask ourselves a question. You know, when he put Gottlieb in charge of the FDA, and now Gottlieb has since resigned when he tried to implement forced vaccinations on everybody, and he quickly was pulled out because the bots on the internet were showing that nobody liked the guy, nobody trusted the guy, he pushed it too far. That's my opinion is why he resigned. And now we've got Trump pushing GMOs that destroy the intestinal tract, that destroy the gut, that cause all of these diseases, these immune system disorders, and the breakdown of the body's ability to fight off disease and infection. And now he's still pushing it now, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Why? Because he doesn't run the country. He's a figurehead. You've got to understand this. The boys had the talk. Somebody took him aside and said, here's how the world works, and here's these little videos that we've got of you, or whatever they said to him. I'm not saying any of that's real. I'm just saying whatever they said to him got his attention to the point where he's marching to their drum, marching to their beat. And guys, it's the same group of people that I talked about at the beginning of the show that are doing all of it. All of it. And we have to understand it's that same group that's been around for thousands of years. They haven't changed. It's the same group who killed Jesus Christ. It's the same group who overthrew the Roman Empire. It's the same group. It's always the same people. It's the same Druids from Stonehenge. It's the same Satan worshipers from Genesis chapter 6. It's always these guys. And now the GMO poison train continues. And it's going to continue until we decide as consumers not to buy it or to use their products. We have to understand that unless we stop this, it won't make a difference. Now, here's the Sun. This is a website. Just came out with this story this morning. It was on Drudge. Tanker Inferno, the Gulf of Oman attacked. Shocking pictures show huge explosions on U.S.-linked oil tanker hit by torpedo as two ships are attacked near Iran. Okay, here we go. This has the Gulf of Tonka all over it in spades. How do we know from a torpedo standpoint where in the heck this thing came from? Now they're going to, of course, want to blame all of this on Iran, who's got some submarines. But let me say something to you very quickly. You know, a lot of countries have a lot of submarines. Germany's made a whole bunch of submarines that are capable of nuclear armament, torpedoes, and missile launch. And they've sold them to all kinds of countries, including Israel. So who in the world knows where a ship fired a submarine from at an oil tanker? Guys, this reeks of a false flag again. And guys, the irony about this is it's causing a massive amount of tension to rise in the area. I mean, this is crazy. And of course, Iran will probably blame with it. They're going to keep going and going and going until they cause a massive war over there in the Middle East, which is what they want to do. But remember, they want to purge Christianity from Europe to start with. Oh, that's right. That's right. They've pretty much done that already with their tariffs and their taxes and all the things they do when people go to church and the bills they've got to pay and the taxation they get from the federal government to support the churches. They pretty much wiped out the churches in Europe and in Germany already. Now there's a giant spiritual void there, and the Muslims have come in. But Jesus isn't being preached in most of these places anymore. Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, isn't being preached. And this is the goal. The goal is to turn us back to a godless world, a godless society in which everything is evil all the time. I mean, George Orwell's 1984 has come upon us in spades. You know, John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute had an excellent article. I posted it on the website, and it's called The omnipresent surveillance state, Orwell's 1984, is no longer fiction. It's been 7 years since Orwell, dying beset by fever and bloody coughing fits, and driven to warn against the rise of a society in which rampant abuse of power and mass manipulation are the norm, depicted the ominous rise of the ubiquitous technology, fascism and totalitarianism in 1984. Now think about what's going on, what he talked about, what's happening. It's no longer a joke. Our world is characterized by widespread surveillance, behavior prediction technology, data mining, fusion centers, driverless cars, voice-controlled homes, facial recognition systems, cybugs and drones, and predictive policy, policing, pre-crime, aimed at capturing would-be criminals before they can do any damage, like in Tom Cruise's movie. Surveillance cameras are everywhere. Government agents listening in on our telephone calls and read our emails. Political correctness, a philosophy that discourages diversity. I mean, the courts have shredded the Fourth Amendment's protections against unreasonable search and seizures. In fact, SWAT teams battering down doors without search warrants, and FBI agents acting as secret police that investigate dissenting citizens or common occurrences in America. And bodily privacy and integrity have been utterly eviscerated by a prevailing view that Americans have no rights over what happens to their bodies during the encounter with government officials who are allowed to search, seize, strip, scan, grope, spy on, probe, pat down, taser, and arrest any individual at any time for the slightest provocation and charge them with resisting arrest. Wow. Think about this. In fact, big tech wedded to central government has become big brother, and we are now ruled by the corporate elite, the same group, by the way, guys, that I talked about earlier in the show, whose tentacles control 95% of the world's industry. For example, USA Today reports that 5 years after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the homeland security business was booming to such an extent that it eclipsed mature enterprises like movie making and the music industry in annual revenue. This security spending is to private corporations such as Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others, is forecast security spending to them to exceed $1 trillion in the near future. Yes, George Orwell, 1984 is upon us. And it's unbelievable to me as an American citizen to see what's going on. That's why I am so blessed to be part of this new Gutenberg Press with Austin and do this show so we can tell you the truth. I'm going to continue to do what I do. Guys, you know, my relationship with Christ is better than it's ever been. And my relationship with you guys as my friends and our listeners is better than it's ever been. I pray that God blesses you, that His face shines upon you, that He's gracious unto you, that He grants you peace, mercy, health, longevity, and prosperity. And all the days we're here. Because, guys, we are called to be set apart. The Word tells us, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. And, guys, we need to realize that we're not part of this mess. That they may do whatever they want to may do to us, but we're protected by the blood of the Lamb. In the end, we win because we end up in heaven and they don't. Guys, it's so important to stay the course and to understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including resisting the tyranny and the evil that is upon us. Austin, what do you think?
Absolutely. And, you know, the next step, you know, I talked to one of our good friends the other day, and he was talking about coming back in to the airport internationally. He was flying in Orlando, and when he got in, they basically told him it's been the customs and border. You know, do you normally come back into the country? Show them your passport. Well, they did facial recognition software. They make you stand in front of a camera. The camera angles down on you. You have to put your fingers on it. They do fingerprints, and then they take a photo of your face, and then you move on. And I asked him, I said, why'd you do this? Well, they told me I had to do it. Well, the thing about this, I've been doing some research on it. As of right now, there is no legal way they can force you to submit the facial recognition software. Understand, when you're coming back into the country, you're not committing a crime. You're a legal U.S. citizen who's trying to travel freely, unmolested on your way. The Fourth Amendment is not about protecting a place. It is about protecting a person. That is what the Fourth Amendment is about. And the reason why I've been so adamant about this with people is now, just reported this week, a massive malicious cyber attack. Hackers stole facial recognition data from U.S. airport travelers. I kid you not. It resulted in the photos of airport passengers and other personal data harvested by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, stolen by unknown actors. They said custom officials said in a statement Monday that the images, also including photos of people's license plates in the parking area, has been compromised as part of an attack on a federal subcontractor. The agency maintains a database including including passport and visa photos that are used at airports as part of the agent facial recognition program. CBD declined on how many people were affected. Of course they did. And they also declined on which private subcontractor was hacked. They go on to say the cyber attack comes amid the ongoing rollout of CBP's biometric entry exit system. Exactly what I'm talking about. You go in the country, you leave the country, they want your biometrics. The government's initiative to biometrically verify the identity of all travelers crossing the U.S. border. CBP is scrambling to implement the initiative with the goal of using facial recognition technology on 100% of all international passengers, including American citizens, in the top U.S. 20 airports by 2021. Now, here's the thing about this. They can't do it if you don't submit to it. The concept is eluding a lot of people right now. Just like every time I've flown commercial and I have to go through TSA and I say, no, I'm not going through your radiation body scanner. You can take me over there and have fun groping me and we can both have a party. Let's go. And every single time they say, okay, stand here for a second, and they run me through. I don't even go through a metal detector, by the way. They bypass the metal detector. They bypass the whole radiation technology to scan your entire body, and then they take me to the side, make me take off my belt, have fun, and we have a big party for about a minute, and then I put everything back on, and I say, okay, time to go, I'm clean, goodbye, thank you for playing, and I walk on my merry little way. The difference is 99% of the passengers behind me have this perplexed look on their face like, why isn't he going through the radiation scanner? That's so odd. And it's so funny. The last time I did it, when I flew out to Vegas, I had one of the TSA guys. I told him, I said, I'm not going through that. I'm not going through your radiation scanner. I'm not complying. I'm not submitting. He goes, okay, hold on, I got it. We'll take over here. We'll do the pat down. And he comes back about a minute later. He's like, okay, they're ready for you over there. And we had to stand there for about another 30 seconds till they had everything clear. And he looks up at me and he goes, you know, he goes, it's funny. He goes, nobody ever opts out of this thing. And he goes, if I was going through this, I wouldn't go through that scanner either. I have no idea what that thing does to people. He goes, but I can tell you from being around it, I don't feel good around it. I don't like it. I commend you for not going through that. And I said, oh, well, thank you. This is a TSA agent. TSA blue uniform, TSA agent telling me this. I walked through, got groped, got it over with, got done. Now, here's the thing about it. You have the right to opt out. As of 2019, facial recognition is mostly being used to verify identity for Customs and Border Protection on international flights. Transport Security Administration, TSA, have plans to expand it domestically as well. To start with, be cognizant anytime you're asked to look into a camera or move your sunglasses or hat. That interferes with the ability to scan your face. It might sound trite, but right now the key to opting out of facial recognition is being vigilant and aware, warns the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Different airlines and even different parts of the airport may have different ways to notify passengers. JetBlue, for example, has a e-boarding area. Delta says Atlanta is a biometric terminal. Fewer than 2% of passengers opt out, they report. If you opt out, your travel documents will be manually inspected, and you might be asked to stand in a separate, slower line. A group of digital rights advocates, including Fight for the Future, last week launched the website Airline Privacy to keep a running list of airlines that are now using the tech. These agencies claim that the systems are voluntary. That does not mean that U.S. citizens are giving explicit condition to be enrolled or honest information about the full implementation of these tech programs. If you get any pushback about opting out, know that DHS officials have repeatedly told Congress in writing that facial recognition is optional for citizens. The CBP website at this time, CBP does not require U.S. citizens or exempt aliens to have their pictures taken when entering or exiting the country. These travelers are requested not participate in this facial recognition process, may notify a CBP officer or an airline or airport representative, and ask to seek an alternative means of verifying their identities and documents. TSA website, participation in the testing of biometric technology is voluntary. Passengers may notify a TSA officer if they do not wish to participate and will go through the standard ID verification process. guys, we're submitting to this crap. We're walking around and we're saying, oh, that's what you told me to do? Okay, I'll do it. I'll blindly obey your unconstitutional order that violates my Fourth Amendment right. Okay, here we go. Let's get it over with. We're constantly doing this, and we're doing it by submission. You don't have to comply with this crap. You don't have to do any of this stuff with the facial recognition software. Just like the vaccines, they're continually trying to force people to do it through mandates and fear and subjugation and media backlash. They're doing it all to get you to submit. It's so important that everybody starts waking up and we start non-violently protesting. And what I mean, it can mean everything with that. By not submitting, by not conforming, by not going in and allowing these people to get your facial recognition photos and your fingerprints, and then you turn around and you have a report this week that I got hacked, and they're not even notifying people who got hacked. They're not even telling you who the contractor was that got hacked, and they're not even telling you how many people got hacked because they're listing it all under national security. This stuff is a giant powder keg, in my opinion, that is going to explode in all of our faces if we continue to submit to a tyrannical regime that is doing everything they can to get your face and your fingerprints at every second that they can, as long as they can get you to submit to it, Dad.
You know, Austin, it's just the problem we have is, you know, when you get a concealed weapons permit, you have to submit to all the stuff. You got to give them all your fingerprints, et cetera. And so, you know, most of our listeners have concealed weapons permits. I mean, I can guarantee you it's probably 80%. So they've already got your fingerprints. When you go in and you sign up for the TSA PreCheck, which prevents the groping and the taking off of the belt and the taking off the shoes and the groping and the genitalia and the X-ray scanners, I mean, it's just unreal. It's unreal that, you know, that they're doing all of this stuff and getting all of this information, because it's all going to be used in databases with the NSA to basically find you or locate you. Now they want our DNA for everything. I mean, good grief. Now, sooner or later, again, like I told you, with the 5G networks, the 5G are going to allow them to basically track you with a multi-phase directional antenna, basically a longitudinal ray or a scalar wave, to zoom in on you personally and know your own biosigns. This is where it's going, guys. This is not our technology. This is off-world technology. This is Genesis chapter 6, fallen angel kind of stuff. This is some weird stuff. This is right out of Roswell. This is right out of the doggone Majestic 12 mess. You know, we got a whole bunch of these entities that are running around that are giving our government all kinds of advanced technology, and for nefarious reasons only, because they want to have a complete and total control grid around this planet. These are the demons and the weirdos and the fallen angels, if they're still around or whatever the heck they are. I mean, all of this stuff is happening right now. So I'm telling you guys, if you are bored, if you are bored with what's going on this planet right now, you're listening to the wrong stuff. I mean, you know, we should be energized to know that we've got to stand against this fight, that we've got to be able to stand against this tyranny on an ongoing basis, guys. And that's what we're here for. We're here to do that. I want to stop for 1 second. I want to thank you again, you know, for supporting us and for being there with our show and praying for us. Because, you know, without you guys helping us and just supporting us, we could not do what we do. We cannot give you a completely and totally commercial-free show. So I want to thank you for that again. I did that already earlier this week, and I want to thank you again for, because if we don't continue to support and uplift each other, then what the heck? Really? I mean, who in the world is supposed to do that? I mean, if we won't support our own people and our own friends and our own people that are involved with us, who are praying and helping us to know the truth, who are we going to support? See, and that's the thing I want you guys to know, that I appreciate it when you do this for us. I mean, it's so, so, so important that we all work together to be the best we possibly can. By the way, Top Southern Baptist is one of their major groups right now, are turning around and singing Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know, on the platform, you know, together from a leadership standpoint. Top Southern Baptist leaders take the stage to send Lynyrd Skynyrd for thousands of pastors at Send Luncheon. The Southern Baptist Convention is falling apart. The SBC leaders are doing this, performing Lynyrd Skynyrd at an annual convention. The top leaders took the stage Monday to do this. It's Lynyrd Skynyrd. You know, I mean, unbelievable. You know, this is just absolutely crazy that they're putting this secular music and all of its subliminal messaging into the hearts and the minds of these pastors. I remember several years ago, I was listening to one of the top people who had been a top radio personality and top singer and everything else for years and years and years. And he said that they make him do basically have a behind the scenes, they have a chapel, a Luciferian chapel, a witchcraft chapel, in which they take these albums and after they're released and after they're printed and they take them in and they bless them through Lucifer. And you say, what the heck, really? Guys, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I say. But all I know is this. The entire music industry now is filled with Illuminati symbology, all kinds of sick stuff with all-seeing eyes, which is protective, you know, and all these different hand signs and all the crazy stuff. I mean, think about it. I mean, that red string of Kabbalah is supposed to protect you against the evil eye. I mean, what the heck? And all of these weirdos in the music industry, and you get to people like Ron Perlman, who was a known rapist of young boys, you know, who lived in Orlando, and who has all these sick things, and he ended up fleeing the country, and ended up, he's dead now. I mean, and we see it over and over with Weinstein. I mean, what the heck? And we need to realize this, guys. Who are we going to support? If you walk into a movie, and it's awful, and there's a bunch of weird, sick stuff going on, and you didn't know it was in there, turn around, take your ticket stubs, go back to the front desk and say, I want a refund. I'm not going to support this sick, perverted crap. And that's what you got to do. And I, Austin, we have done that multiple times this past year because we want people to know that we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. We're not going to allow them to basically go unfettered into our minds during a production and say whatever they want to say, and we're supposed to blindly sit there and accept it. It's like that new Godzilla movie with all this crazy subliminal stuff in there, and that new movie that we talked about last week, Aladdin, with this transgender stuff. Blech! I mean, are you kidding me? Guys, don't support that mess. Never support it. Austin, what do you think?
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that's why I continue to tell everybody, support things with your money that you know are going to be good companies. Don't support companies that you know are diametrically opposed to your beliefs. Don't support movies that you know are unbelievably perverted. Don't go and support all these different companies like Amazon that you know are going out of their way to turn into an online retail monopoly and put everybody else out of business. Don't do it. We have the power. I think that's the most frustrating part that we've seen now is that the United States population, a lot of us are still very, very smart. A lot of us are still very educated. A lot of us are still very wise. But we have to implement that wisdom. God's given us so much wisdom. He's given us the ability to look at all this and understand a lot of what's going on. And it's our responsibility to implement it, though. We have the freedom of will. That's one aspect about human beings that God's been very clear about. Nobody is forced to do anything. There's certain things you do that have certain consequences, good and bad. And you have to understand how those are weighing out in your life. And we all have to be aware of what's going to happen if we continue to just become complacent and sit back and do nothing and just blindly support and blindly fund and blindly stand behind all of this tyranny that's enveloping us behind us right now. I mean, perfect example, too, of what we're seeing with the consistent barrage, like Dad said earlier, with what we're seeing with law enforcement. I have a lot of friends that are in law enforcement. I really support a lot of the sheriffs in my area. But you see a lot of people now that are on this whole support back the blue, all this stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. Let me clarify that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But it's being done also as a psychop to get a large percentage of the population behind any type of unlawful acts that a lot of law enforcement officers have done in a while. I mean, I've seen a lot of videos, and I know you have too, and there's videos on both sides of just law enforcement officers completely and totally out of control. Yet, most of the time now, it very rarely ever makes mainstream media. And if it does, they use it to essentially incite a riot, like we saw in Ferguson, simply just to stir civil unrest. These are things that are continually happening, and those people have to be held accountable, like the thing that happened up in Minnesota with the officer in the passenger seat that shoots the unarmed woman going outside to report a sexual assault through the driver's window. And now we find out that when the officers arrived in the vehicle, they had their dash cam and body cams turned off when they were responding to a scene. situations like that need to get called out. And I'm glad that whole situation got national publicity now because of how weird everything was that's been going on over there. And we talked about it in detail, so I'm not going to go into more detail, but we have to be vocal and we have to make people held accountable for what they're doing, especially when they're in higher level of public service. I mean, there's so many times now that I've seen things and read things that makes you just question a lot of the what we've allowed to have happen in Congress. Now, it's ironic. I was looking at an article from the Free Thought Project the other day, and it said, did you know the Founding Fathers originally only paid senators and representatives a per diem amount while in session, which is essentially designed to cover their cost of expense, housing, food, and so forth, and spending cash while Congress and the Senate was in session. Why? Because they knew that if Congress were ever to be paid salaries, which they could then vote to increase themselves, Congress would no longer be a constitution or a government of the people, by the people, but rather above the people. They wanted to ensure that those in power were subject to the same financial conditions as the rest of the nation. That's why we see senators now and congresswomen now and congressmen now that are worth $30, $40, $50 million, and they've been essentially lifelong politicians. How do you accrue $50 million net worth when you make $170,000 a year as a politician? Just curious. Don't be wrong. That's a lot of money, and I think they massively get overpaid for what their job position is. But after taxes, you're making $170,000, so you're bringing home about $100,000 a year, and you're net worth $50 million after being a career politician for 30 years? I want to know what you've been doing on the side, because that's a lot of money to accrue. And these are the things that we have to start asking and addressing and being vocal about, because last time I checked, it's still completely legal to ask a question about anything you want to ask a question about. Also, too, in other news, health news, I tell everybody, keep the unnatural lights turned off, including your Wi-Fi. Keep those turned off. Keep your phones away from your bed when you sleep. That's a huge thing. My phones stay as far as physically away from me I can possibly make them when I go to bed, and my Wi-Fi gets shut off. And also, too, put your phone on airplane mode if you want at night. That'll shut off any type of exposure that your phone may be producing. But now a new article has come out, and it says the sleeping with artificial light, is it linked to weight gain? Only women were examined in the obesity study, but they found that sleeping with a television on or lights on in the room or your phone constantly by you may be a risk for gaining weight or developing obesity, according to the scientists of the Natural Institute of Health. The research, which was published online June 10th in JAMA, is the first to find an association between exposure to artificial light at night while sleeping and weight gain in women. The research team used a questionnaire data from 43,722 women in the study. And what's interesting about this is the results varied with the level of artificial light at night exposure. For example, using a small light night was not associated with weight gain, whereas women who slept with a light on or an LED light on or a television on were almost 20% more likely to gain 5 kilograms or 11 pounds over the follow-up period. The association with having light coming from the outside of the room was much more modest. One of the doctors and researchers in here, he said, although poor sleep by itself was associated with obesity and weight gain, it did not explain the association between the exposure to artificial light by sleeping and the weight gain. He said humans are genetically adapted to natural environmental sunlight during the day and darkness at night, but exposure to unnatural light at night may alter the hormones and other biological processes in ways that raise the risk of health conditions like obesity. So again, just something I talk about all the time, let it be dark in your house. If you don't, you have outside light, put some black-up shades on. It's really, really important for overall. That's one of the first things I ask people all the time when they call me up or they email me and they say, I'm having a trouble sleeping. I said, okay, well, you know, we have the sleep like a baby kid. That's really great. But first, do you have your Wi-Fi on at night? And invariably, pretty much every time, everybody goes, yes. And I say, do you have other unnatural lights on? Well, a lot of times I fall in front of the sleep in front of the TV, or I fall asleep on my phone, or I leave the hall light on, or something like that. No. All that has to get turned off. So just wanted to throw that in there, Dad, and make sure everybody understands that that's a really important thing, especially at night, for optimal, healthy sleep.
Well, the pineal gland creates melatonin and basically puts it into your system, make you sleep. And when you get around Wi-Fi, the pineal gland sees that as light. Though you don't see it as light. The pineal gland, it hits it from an electronic standpoint, electrically bombards it radioactively, not radioactively, but from a radiation standpoint, and it basically makes the pineal gland think it's bright light outside, which makes the pineal gland not want to release melatonin, which makes the pineal gland not very effective as far as helping you to sleep. Good news is finished final article today. Christian faith. Vince Gill was told he can't sing about Jesus on the Grand Ole Opry. So he steps out on the Grand Ole Opry stage and belts out gospel about Jesus. He was told that he had to sing along with Little Big Town, and no one expected him to openly defy the instructions he had been issued with regarding his performance and being told he could not sing about Jesus. Man, wow. Think about what's happened to country music. Country music was always about Christ, about Christians, about the blood, and now they don't want to sing. When I watched now the Country Music Awards, which I watched the other night for like 20 seconds, they bring a bunch of women up on the platform. They're covered in tats, bunch of heathen, talking like a bunch of heathen. They've subverted country music. I mean, I'm not saying that I was ever a big fan of country music, but what I'm saying is it used to be about Jesus at the Grand Ole Opry, and Vince Gill brought it back to the Grand Ole Opry. So I'm proud of him, and I think he's taking a stand that we all need to take. Don't ever be embarrassed about your Savior and what he did for you. And guys, I want to thank you for listening. I appreciate you so much. Austin will be on with Hagman tonight, and so I'm looking forward to hearing that show. God bless you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish it up, and I'll do the write-up. And guys, I appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. Continually thank you for everything, guys. We continually thank you. I mean, we really do appreciate the support. Thank you for the emails, and thank you again for forwarding our shows and signing up for our free weekly newsletter. Be sure to check out the specials on the website. As I told you guys at the beginning of the show, the joint rebuilding formula, very, very popular formula, is actually a formula that we let Dave Hodges try and actually prevented him from having to get knee replacement surgery. Really good at rebuilding soft tissue, great for bodybuilders, great for people that are exercising or individuals that are older that are having a lot of joint issues. On sale right now for 12% off. Be sure to check that out on the website at healthmasters.com. And if you guys need anything on the Ultimate Multiple Powder, letting you guys know, we dropped it down to one can per order now because we're getting very low on it, and we've had a lot of people email me and said they're trying to buy it this weekend. They're trying to get, you know, some cash fine on it. We're very low on it. So if you notice that on the website, you can only order one can per order. We're going to keep it like that until the product's out because we want to make sure everybody has a chance to buy it. And we had a few customers that were stockpiling it, which is nothing wrong with that, but we just realized real quick that we need to make sure everybody has a chance to do so. So healthmasters.com, thank you for the support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Enjoy the Hagman Show tonight, and I'll talk to you guys again on this show tomorrow as always.